The Shepherd Study, helping pastors discover literature to broaden their ministries. This week, we look at The Original Ending of Mark, a new case for the authenticity of Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, by Nicholas P. Lunn. Our reviewer this week is Pastor Dan Witte. Nicholas P. Lunn, Ph.D., is a translation consultant with Wycliffe Bible Translators and associate tutor at Spurgeon's College in Old Testament. His Ph.D. thesis was published as Word Order Variation in Biblical Hebrew Poetry, 2006. Lunn has worked on Bible translation projects in East African and West Asian languages and has written for the Journal for the Study of the Old Testament and the Tyndale Bulletin. You may not question whether Jesus said and Mark wrote, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Mark 16, verse 16. Luther certainly regarded it as worthy of inclusion in his small catechism. The phrase from Mark 16, 15, "Preach the gospel," Keruxeta ta Angelion, serves as the motto of Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. But could these words be uncanonical? Despite cautionary notes in the New International Version and other major translations, and the absence of this section from the Sunday Lectionary in Christian Worship, a Lutheran hymnal, many readers of this review may never have wrestled with whether or not Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, is canonical. A little background is in order. After the discoveries of Codices Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, Brooke F. Westcott and F. J. A. Hort argued in 1881 that Mark 16, verses 9 through 20, is not original. Bruce Metzger and other editors of recent NAUBS Greek New Testament editions have agreed. Metzger, 1977, has highlighted seeming anomalies in vocabulary and style in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. C.E.B. Cranfield, in his 1959 commentary, part of the Cambridge Greek New Testament commentary, called the long ending, quote, "obviously non-Markan," end quote. And no recent prominent U.S. commentaries on Mark disagree with Metzger or Cranfield. James R. Edwards' 2002 Pillar New Testament commentary on Mark does not consider Mark 16, verses 9 through 20, original. Nor does Craig A. Evans's 2000-word commentary on Mark chapter 8, verse 27, through chapter 16, verse 20. Nor will James W. Vohl's forthcoming Concordia commentary volume on the same section. Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, receives no comments or exposition in the major commentaries of, quote, Lane, France, Garland, Marcus, Harrington and Donahue, Boring, as well as those of Gundry and Witherington, end quote, points out Nicholas P. Lunn in footnote. Lunn, swimming against the scholarly tide, believes Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, is both canonical and Markan, and he has marshaled much evidence. After a chapter of introduction, Lunn offers two chapters on external evidence, chapter 2, Bible manuscripts, and chapter 3, patristic citations, and two more on internal evidence, chapter 4, vocabulary and style, and chapter 5, parts of speech proportions, ways in which prominent participants are referred to, pet phrases, what linguistics call collocations, and characteristic syntactic constructions. Chapter 6 gives literary evidence, such as Mark's use of inclusio, that is, envelope structure, Mark's penchant for intercalation, telling a story, interrupting it with a second account, then returning to the first. Parallelism, macro structure in the gospel, Mark and foreshadowing, and more. Then Lunn treats thematic evidence in chapter 7. Quote, 1. The prediction of the passion and resurrection. 2. The new Exodus. 3. Elijah. 4. The movement from fear to faith. And 5. The proclamation of the gospel message, end quote. In chapter 8, Lunn examines the claim that Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, depends on materials found in the other three gospels. This claim could render those 12 verses inauthentic if one joins Lunn and others in presupposing Markan priority. This reviewer disagrees. See B. Ward Powers, The Progressive Publication of Matthew, An Explanation of the Writing of the Synoptic Gospels. Lunn takes up miscellaneous issues in Chapter 9, such as the awkward linkage between Mark 16, verse 8 and 16, verse 9, the lack of explicit reference to Galilee in 16, verses 9 through 20, and some supposed non-Markan elements, such as the necessity of baptism and the signs relating to snakes and poison. With Chapter 10, Lunn attempts to answer if Chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, are inauthentic, whether the original ending was accidentally lost or deliberately removed. Chapter 11 summarizes Lunn's conclusions and rationale. While confident in the last 12 verses of Mark, Lunn has modest expectations. Quote, "At the very least, the thesis advanced here, in all its various elements, will hopefully succeed in proving that the case against the longer Markan ending cannot by any means be regarded as closed. There are sufficient arguments presented here to fuel a continuing debate on the matter in hand. If the discussion is reopened and given fresh impetus, then that in itself will be a worthwhile outcome." End quote. It seems Lunn did change the mind of one scholar. In 2001, Craig A. Evans wrote in the second volume of his Word Biblical Commentary, quote, "The parallels with Acts and the other Gospels, the high concentration of vocabulary found nowhere else in Mark, the absence of these verses in our oldest copies of Mark, e.g. Cyrenaicus and Baitse, and in the earliest fathers, e.g. Clement of Alexandria and Origen, and the awkward connection between verses 8 and 9, have led most scholars to conclude that the long ending of Mark was not part of the original gospel." End quote. By contrast, as a blurb for Lunn's 2014 book, Evans stated, quote, "Nicholas Lunn has thoroughly shaken my view concerning the ending of the Gospel of Mark. As in the case of most gospel scholars, I have for my whole career held that Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, the so-called long ending, was not original. But in his well-researched and carefully argued book, Lunn succeeds in showing just how flimsy that position really is. The evidence for the early existence of the ending, if not for its originality, is extensive and quite credible. I will not be surprised if Lunn reverses scholarly opinion on this important question. I urge scholars not to dismiss his arguments without carefully considering this excellent book. The original ending of Mark is a must-read for all concerned with the Gospels and early tradition concerned with the resurrection story." End quote. Evans is right about carefully argued, at least in volume. Lunn has over 1,100 footnotes. Well-researched fits, too, with 400 works in Lunn's bibliography. More than that, Lunn's book may be the most thorough, organized defense ever on the authenticity of Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. A brief review can hardly do it justice. Lunn offers textual evidence, syntactical and vocabulary studies, discourse analysis, and more. He covers his opponent's arguments and refutes them, usually solidly. Sometimes Lunn stumbles. For instance, in his study of whether words in chapter 16, verses 9 through 20 are non-Markan or not, or whether the ratio of such words to words which Mark uses in other places is high, Lunn examines various Markan pericopes for words used only once. He borrows the acronym from Bruce Terry, but it confuses. Both Terry and Lunn mean lexemes, dictionary forms such as anistemi, as opposed to the first word in chapter 16, verse 9, the participle anastas. Sometimes such lexemes show up more than once in the chapter or pericope under analysis. With such slips rare in this book, and with so much evidence for his case, will Lunn reverse scholarly opinion, as Evans predicts? As much as he admires the book, this reviewer would be surprised. A critical review and rebuttal can be found online. One's view of Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, as Daniel Wallace points out in Perspectives on the Ending of Mark, Four Views, relate to one's presuppositions about A, the synoptic problem, B, textual criticism of the Gospels, and C, to what degree God's promise to preserve His Word applies to manuscripts collectively. Wallace, and most of the other prominent authors in that volume, are unlikely ever to see things Lund's way, and you will do well to compare their arguments with Lund's. The other thorough recent work contending that Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20 is inauthentic is online. Travis B. Williams, Bringing Method to the Madness, Examining the Style of the Longer Ending of Mark. Bulletin for Biblical Research, Volume 20, Issue 3, 2010, pages 397 to 418. No one this side of eternity will permanently solve, for all interpreters, the puzzle of the so-called long ending of Mark. But Lund has notably reframed and updated the debate. Lutheran pastors would do well to ponder this with thoughtful diligence.